Now, the rest of the story. He was a Sicilian immigrant, a second-rate talent with first-rate aspirations in show business. His name was Frank. She was in the chorus line at the Diamond Horseshoe, a little girl with a big heart. Her name was Jacqueline. Well, Frank and Jacqueline met and married, but could afford only a cold water flat in New York's Hell's Kitchen. Their dreams had been bigger than their talents. Their baby would have to be born in a charity ward. As husband and wife stood patiently at the hospital registration desk, the nurse glanced at them casually and then back to the blank form before her. The nurse asked, "Name?" Well, Frank gave their names, and then meekly Frank asked a question of his own. Would his wife be properly cared for? Would she and the new baby be all right on a charity ward? The nurse nodded, but as it turned out, the new baby would not be all right. It was an intern who mentioned to Frank in passing that during birth, a nerve in the child's face had been injured. There was a paralysis on the left side. His eyelids would droop. His lower lip would be affected. Inevitably, his speech would be slurred. And as the intern walked away, Frank knew he would have to work very hard to lift his family from the slums at all costs. He and his wife must flee Hell's Kitchen, must put behind them forever the charity wards. But for their baby Michael, that decision had come too late. Well, Jacqueline and Frank did flee Hell's Kitchen. After 5 years of hard work, they'd saved enough to move to a Maryland suburb of Washington to open a small business there. But as Michael, their baby boy, grew up, it was clear that the damage done to his face at birth would never be erased. And so that severed nerve would serve as a lifetime remnant of the charity ward where he was born. In school, the other children would laugh and point because Michael looked funny and he talked funny, and invariably Michael would run home in tears. "Why did they say those things?" he pleaded with his mother. And mother would gaze down at the sagging lower lip and the drooping eyes and the youthful anguish. And she'd take Michael in her arms, and once again, quietly, compassionately, she would try to explain. At the time, it seemed as though Michael's was a face that only a mother could love. But now you do. Now you love that face as well. For you see, in the apparently disorganized course of human events, it is impossible for each of us to tell the tragedy from what has happened for the best. For Michael strove to overcome the shyness which grew out of his infirmity by becoming an actor. And the liability of his slurred speech and the droop of his eyes and the pout of his lower lip, these ostensible negatives Michael fused to create a positive entity. And now, today, his image with all of those liabilities intact is described as a refreshing new brand of masculinity, virile, sensitive, and sensual. A very personal image which might never have come into being had the doctors in a charity ward 42 years ago known what to do for the boy who began life with a malfunctioning face became the man whom the whole world unwittingly recognizes now for his infirmity, Michael Sylvester Stallone. You know him as Rocky and or Rambo, only now you know the rest of the story.